Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Welcome to the Match Ball Podcast for the Leeds versus Preston game with Levi Solicitors. 10% off your legal fees if you mention the Square Ball when you inquire. Head to levisolicitors.co.uk/the Square Ball. I'm Dan Moylan, and with me is Michael Normanton.
Hello.
And Moscow White, Daniel Chapman.
Hello.
I don't know how I feel about that game today. Wasn't it weird? Do you feel a bit weirded out by it all?
All my Christmas presents have been thrown in the fire.
Oh.
And watched them burn.
It did at one point.
I didn't even get any.
It felt like everything was lost at one point. I was looking at a live league table and Preston were right there breathing down our necks, and then it became not quite so bad. But I have concerns, is how I'd best describe it.
I think your concerns are legitimate, particularly now the squad is looking a bit stretched because we were terrible. At least the first half an hour, that's the worst I think I've seen us play under Bielsa. It was really bad.
Yeah, I'm not sure the solution is new players.
What is the solution then?
Making the players we've got play better.
So you're saying that if plan A doesn't work, make plan A work better?
Just make the players play well. Because we've got some really, really good players who are they're good at football. They got us up to second. We've been top of the table. So just make them play that good and we'll go up.
I mean, in fairness to Preston, whilst they were shithousing to incredible levels and the referee didn't help, they did give us the runaround in that particularly first 30 minutes when they were pressing us really high and wide and just shut down our plan. And if Kiko and Liam Cooper, if it's not working, lads, try something else instead of doing the same thing over and over again badly.
The problem is when we do try and go long, there's not a target there, is there?
Yeah, but did you not see that big gap in the middle of the park where there's Click and Dallas were stood in it? Fucking acres. They had acres of space and he just kept wanging it out to the wings or playing it out to the fullback who'd get closed down. Goes back to Liam Cooper who then kick it to one of their players.
I think the worry is that Alex Neil's done that every time he plays us, I suppose. He always puts three up against our defenders, Marks, Phillips, and I think Phillips wasn't very good today. He marked Cooper and White and then puts Kiko under pressure from that. And he had the added bonus of David Nugent up front, who looked, from the very first minute, he was playing with a smile on his face, and I didn't like that.
No, I don't like anybody having joy at Elland Road besides us.
No, and his whole thing was basically like an old dog playing with a puppy with Ben White. And Ben got the better of him on quite a few occasions. There was one lovely moment where he flicked the ball backwards over Nugent's head and ran away from him. But then the darker arts, the shirt pulling, the nudging off the ball, the getting like elbows wrapped around his neck.
Ben White is too pure for that.
Well, exactly. So whereas Nugent was...
He's like Snow White.
Was doing it all with a massive grin on his face. And then you had next to him, Liam Cooper just didn't look
like
he'd broken up.
What happened to him today? Because he looked like he had bloody lead in his boots.
Well, I think it's that thing. Preston are aggressive, annoying, experienced, and they have that plan that they use every time they play us of just their three attackers are marking our defenders. And because we play out from the back, even if we are kicking it long, we're keeping the back three involved. They had two up front as well, so that means Calvin has to come back, but it doesn't matter what they do with... It was Alan Brown a lot of the time, was just sitting right on his toes. So we have... Yeah, they go man-to-man on our defence, which is...
It's our trick, isn't it, man-to-man?
Yeah, but not normally on the defence. That's where it is. They use their forward line to mark our defenders and fuck us up, and it works every single time.
Mm, but it's amazing, though, how we didn't think, we see what they're doing here, we need to do this. Why don't we try something else?
I mean, we did try and get out through the fullbacks at times as well, but that wasn't really working either. And it generally ended up with a bit of a crowd that you'd end up with Alioski get it and it'd draw Harrison back and it'd draw Cooper across and it'd just be the three of them all trying to play this intricate little passing move and
badly.
Then there'd be a throw-in yeah. within about 5 seconds.
Yeah, it when we're in that sort of compressed space, it increases the chances of passing going wrong. And so first we were having to pass away from Kiko to places that we didn't on the pitch that we didn't want to be playing from. And then once we were there, we were under pressure that meant it was more difficult to play out from there, which meant it was more likely for there to be a throw-in.
I'm sorry, how do you excuse though when Liam Cooper gets it? And I'm not saying he's in acres of space because they were closing him down, but then he would just pass it to one of their men in midfield. How do you explain? This is basic stuff.
Well, it wasn't just him. They all did. I counted in the first half, there were square balls going across the pitch from Dallas, Ayling and Cooper. And I think Phillips did one as well. That all just went straight to the feet of their attacking midfielder. And yeah.
The whole centre of midfield didn't work in that first half hour. I thought.
I mean, Click was nowhere, was he?
Well, Click, Dallas, and Phillips, I thought, were all terrible in that opening half hour, which just meant there was acres of space. And when anything we did clear just came straight back. It was, I think, unique in Bielsa's era, really, that we've been penned in a game. Mm. Even in games where we've actually suffered quite heavy defeats, like West Brom last year or something, it's not generally been such relentless pressure. It's been a more open game. Whereas this, it just felt like the only touches we had in the final third were chasing their keeper occasionally when we were getting onto loose balls and things. But there was absolutely nothing that we produced in the opening half hour.
I think what was frustrating as well was seeing them not doing anything technically difficult. They were getting it and they were hitting the channels every single time and just pumping it or lifting it over our defenders that dropped behind them and put them on the back foot or just pumping it into the channel. And that was their only tactic, really. And lo and behold, it worked.
Well, their goal came from just a long ball, didn't it? I think it was a ball over the top.
It was a really good pass through. We lost the ball. Stuart
Klitsch
Dallas
lost the ball, didn't he, I think, on the edge of the box.
Yeah, and Stuart Dallas had gone into attack with him, so they were both upfield just behind on the edge of Preston's penalty area. And then it was just a really... It was a good pass through into space because we only had Ben White back and White went towards the ball and they squared it across to
a nice little reverse pass. It was Brown who scored on it.
Yeah.
And right.
So it ended up with two running through against one. And we were, when we did get forward, we were, there was one moment I had my head in my hands because only Alioski was back. He was on the centre spot on his own and he was our furthest player back and Harrison was just in front of him trying desperately not to get tackled by one of their midfielders, and if he'd lost the ball then they would have been straight through. It was difficult, but yeah, they absolutely carved us open for that one. It was a counter-attack that, like we do.
Mm. Yeah, that goal by Brown as well, I don't know if you saw him, but he ran away shushing the cop just a little bit too much. It's one of those moments where you think, is it worth the banning order, particularly at Christmas, just to go down there?
What exactly was he shushing? Because the crowd had been entirely silent up to that point. He'd not been getting any stick, had
he? No stick, no abuse, no. Okay. Just an unpleasant young man. He needs to learn some manners, is what he needs to do.
I think he's done this before. I'm sure the only reason I know the name of Alan Brown with an E is because he's been obnoxious against Leeds in the past. They are quite an obnoxious team, from Ben Pearson to David Nugent to Alan Brown to, I suppose, Paul Huntington's okay. But then Tom Clark getting involved with the whole Dallas and Pearson thing when they all got booked, when everybody got booked.
That was another thing. Yeah, referee. And their time wasted. I know, and it's easy to point the finger at the referee and say he didn't help it, but he really didn't help it. But he enabled their time wasting and gamesmanship so much. He seemed to be running almost at a tempo that didn't match the game.
Pearson was refereeing the game, from what I could see. He just seemed to be man-marking the referee and telling him what to do the whole time. And he was holding the ball on every free kick as if it was his responsibility to decide when a free kick could be taken. Which was doing my day. And he should have got booked after about 10 minutes for fouling Dallas, which would have taken a lot of the sting out of his game.
But that was the thing as well, yeah, the refusal of the referee to clamp down on the time wasting and say, look, lads, I've got your number here. Stop doing it or you're going to get booked. And then they don't listen and they book him. But he enabled it for so long.
I'm 50-50 on the referee, Darren Bond, it was, old Dasbo, because he added on 6 minutes, which was a lot. So he didn't, he didn't do the usual thing of not clamping down on it and only giving 2 minutes or something. And I think that helped us in a way, because clamping down on their time wasting and then playing the game to 90 minutes, they were tiring because of the work that they were going through. So forcing them to keep it up for 96 minutes is almost, that's not something that works against us in the end. But what he was doing, and yeah, it's always annoying. I think referees in general, just like, I noticed it in the Chelsea-Southampton game that just before Southampton took the lead, Ryan Bertrand had been booked for time wasting, and they haven't played half an hour yet. And I think that's brilliant. That's exactly what should happen.
Yep.
But what the referee did do, on the other hand, was he let us take, if we had the room and we could take corners in particular, we were taking corners whenever we wanted, because he was like, right, if I think he'd know Preston are going to stop you taking these free kicks, and there's a limit during the rules of like, I can tell them to get back 10 yards, can't do it. But on a corner, I don't care what the fuck's happening. If Calvin wants to pass it to Click, as soon as the ball's in the corner, do it. And that gave us some really good spells of pressure where we were winning corner and taking it before Preston were ready. So I was kind of 50-50 on Daspo with that, because I felt Daspo. like that was a good way of because all the referees could have been like, no, you've got to wait and take this corner, get everybody set up. Instead, he was just like, nope, when you're ready to take that corner, you take it.
My grievance, though, was the fact that he refused to get the card out for so long, and then when he did, he just wouldn't stop.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, and then he booked everybody for everything.
Yeah.
But there was a couple of players in their midfield that you could have done them under totting up easily in that first half alone.
I think that's where Nugent got his... He got booked in the end just for constant fouling, and then Pearson, the same, eventually got one. And then it was the... I'd like to see, well, there's a couple I'd like to see, and unfortunately, because the game on Sky, I got the impression watching it that Alioski absolutely shoving Ben Pearson to the ground right in front of Alex Neil will probably have been replayed over and over, I imagine, even though there wasn't much in it, and Pearson rolling around on the floor, even, you know, if it was a head injury or something, then the physio could have walked two paces to come and save his life.
But instead, stem the blood flow.
Yeah, just left him to it. And then it was Pearson and Dallas off the ball, I think, or it might have been Dallas and Brown. But yeah, then, and that started from, that's where the referee maybe didn't need to clamp down, because that started from Dallas being annoyed at him for...
Is that the same one where the dickhead went to his knees when there was that exchange by the touchline, and he fell to his knees as if he'd been hit, and then he realised he hadn't been and couldn't get away with it?
No, that was the Ben Pearson one. Ah, and right. He did actually, from my view, Alioski basically got him by the shoulders and just put him on the floor.
Oh, that's fine then.
Yeah, it was absolutely great. But the other one was Dallas ended up on the floor, and it had been going on for a while over them arguing about a free kick being stopped from taking. And then... Pearson and Click and no, it was Tom Clark came in with Click, and they ended up having a big to do. So I get the feeling there'll be probably, we'll get the 10 match bans later.
Because the squad's not thin enough already. That goal, when it came in, it was a nice moment when we equalised so late on. But do you feel happy on it? Now we've sort of, you know, the game's finished about half an hour ago, three quarters of an hour. I mean, do you feel happy about the fact that happened? Because I feel confused and annoyed. I don't know.
I feel very happy. It felt a little bit like things were unravelling as we headed towards a defeat there. And because Preston were going to be the team in third, it's obviously quite a decent swing of points there to take two off them and game one ourselves, whereas it did feel like there was the pressure on us. I don't know. We need to start winning, don't we? Essentially, when you look at the games we've got, this was the game to win, which I know we don't do things necessarily the way we're meant to, but this was the game out of the three that you think you need to win. So now we need to win at Birmingham.
But the important thing here is the gap, really, because everybody is dropping points.
Shrinking by a point every week, that gap.
Well, that's it. The reason why it feels like an opportunity missed to have opened up the gap, but that the reason that is there is because West Brom only drew at Barnsley, and Fulham fluked a last minute equaliser I assume they fluked it, but they got a last minute equaliser to make it 3-3 at Luton. So the reason that opportunity was there for us to take something from, like, to win and improve the gap, was because our two closest rivals fucked up as well.
Not to mention Sheffield Wednesday at Stoke, who Tom Lees put them 2-1 up on 74 minutes, yeah. And their winner came after 97 minutes. Their equaliser was 4 minutes before that on 93. So that's a kick in the bollocks, isn't it?
So we're not the only ones. And West Brom shouldn't be going to Barnsley and drawing.
No.
They're supposed to be the best team in the division. So that's... I having seen how badly we played, particularly in the first half, I'll take a point out of that.
Because sometimes you have to.
We got it, yeah.
Sometimes you have to. That you have to say, we're not going to play well every game.
No, and that whatever they did for Christmas, don't do that again next year.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Let's talk about strikers then, because there was a bit of consternation when Bamford was taken off for Nketiah.
Consternation? There were boos.
I think it was the first time I've known proper dissent for a Bielsa change. I was trying to think if there'd been any others where there was a definite, ooh, not for him. I think people were pleased to see him warming up and thinking, oh, fair enough, we're getting another striker on. But I was surprised by it. Bamford had tried and he not really had anything to work from. So I don't think he'd done anything wrong as such. Mm.
I think
oh, here he goes.
I'll say he was having one of his thick days where he has a problem in games like this where when Nugent did it right against Ben White of being very cleverly doing experienced striker stuff off the ball, you know, and just getting those digs in the ribs and stuff on that. Patrick Bamford sees that kind of thing happening in the game and he just runs up to somebody and just pushes
him over. Yeah, he'll bang into them.
He did do that into the goalkeeper.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
On the far touchline as well where he chases somebody out and the ball's going out for a throw and he just pushes him over and it's like there's a free kick. And
it's like no need for it. Think of the territory that you're going to gain by having them boxed in there.
And sometimes he is like, which one out of Wizard of Oz doesn't have the brain? Him.
Tin Man.
Yeah. And he just thinks, Patrick, think. Just think.
I was going to say, on the sub, I kind of get it to a point because our problem was the middle of the park, really. It was not having an outlet in midfield, wasn't it? And I'm not convinced that having two men up front would have necessarily helped the situation in midfield unless you were going to sacrifice a defender.
No, I think the response to Bamford going off was kind of an expression of Elland Road's kind of inner desire for a good old-fashioned 4-4-2 and lump it. I think it's one of those, everybody wants to see Bamford and Nketiah up front and hang whatever Bielsa wants. And that does come through on games like this when you are watching Bielsa's idea of playing out from the back and Kiko dictating the play and stuff, not working. Those are the moments when you do think, oh, just fucking get two lads on up front and bang it.
It's one of those days today, I think maybe why I feel a bit sad and upset and confused about it all is because you're starting now maybe to see the limitations of Bielsa's system and his method, do you think, a little bit, that it's the refusal to, and we spoke about it earlier on the Phil Hay podcast recording, which will be coming out after this one, which is confusing enough for everybody listening, but about his refusal to take on board more players or have a bigger squad or play in a different way. And when you've got players who are not having a good day, like they weren't having a good day at the back, you know, Kiko, Cooper, whoever, thinking we need to find another way to do this. And maybe having the midfielders, they've got the intelligence to find that space or get Kiko to say, look here, pass it to me, I'm in the middle.
I think today we needed a change in midfield as well. And the option was Robbie Gotz, who, as we know,
will never play.
He nearly started, I think, by the looks of things.
I have to just say it was the Scarecrow as well. I remembered the Scarecrow doesn't have a brain. I don't want people tweeting me about it, about Wizard of Oz. We don't need that.
Why do you hate Oz? Why do you hate Dorothy, you wanker?
Red shoes. Scummer. Robbie Gotz nearly started because there was, at the end of every warm-up before the game, they do this thing where they run in front of the cop. and do the final little warm up. And I was watching, and they know one of the things they do is they jump in the air and bang shoulders, and it's 2x2. They all run at the fitness coach and run 2x2. I noticed Alioski was running on his own, and I was like, either he stinks and he ain't got no friends no more, or there's only 9 outfield players there, and I counted, and then they were doing it, and I'd noticed as they were setting up, Luke Ayling had turned to somebody and he was shouting at them like, "What are you doing over there?" And towards the end of this routine, Robbie Gotts was brought over and he did the last of it, and then he stayed and he was working on it on his own to get his fitness up, and Click was nowhere to be seen. So I think there'd been a problem with Click, and they were going to be like, right, we need to get Robbie warmed up. But then Click came out and Robbie must have been thinking, I'm going to start. I'm not just going to come on as a sub. I'm going to start. But then, yeah, here comes Click out and he did his warm up. And I think whatever it was, if he felt a twinge or something. But he didn't. I wonder if that had something to do with his performance, because he didn't start well. Well, nobody did in the first half, but we needed Click. Click's job when we were trying to get out, he was trying to do lots of flicks through to Bamford. There were lots of kind of backward flick headers or flick.
Yeah, they come in towards you and you just try and get.
Yep. Yeah, and then Bamford was just nowhere near them. Well, they went nowhere near Bamford, and Bamford was nowhere near where they were going, so it wasn't working. But yeah, I wonder if Click was in line for not starting, and maybe that is an argument for having a deeper squad, that we wouldn't have relied on debutant Robbie Gotts to be coming in. But then, if you remember the playoffs against Derby, who was our best player in the Shackleton? So I wouldn't have worried if Gotts had started.
It's the lack of depth there as well. He's brought to the front for the fall by the fact that Forshaw has died and will never play again. Hernandez is out for a month. You've got Roberts you might want to bring in there.
Shackleton as well.
And then Shackleton. They're both due back.
So there are enough players there, just not right now.
I mean, it's the... I think we've been into this before with Bielsa's small squad. Is that how big a squad do you need to cover every eventuality? Because, you know, you could sign 20 central midfielders and 18 of them could be injured and then you still haven't got enough. So it's, you have to make a call, and it's up to there are two ways of doing it. You either stock up on players, or you just hope. Mm. It's not hope.
We're getting injuries. That's the point. We saw the injury record last year. You think maybe, do I need an extra body? Or is that where you think making better use of the loans and things like that, and just having a more usable squad? Because, you know, it wasn't great last year at times, was it, with the injuries? But we've got a similar number this year.
But at the same time, we finished third and should have finished second. Mm. So there was not really, when it came down to it, were injuries the reason we didn't beat Wigan, and were injuries the reason we lost to it? So we, I
think
know.
As well, because we had that really bad first sort of half an hour today.
Yeah, and I was going to say,
sorry, go on.
After that, I think second half, we weren't brilliant, but
we were more effective. I was actually going to say similar, yeah.
And there were some moments. There was one in particular when we talked about Casilla's distribution out of in the first half when he couldn't get out. There was one absolutely fantastic, quick clearance, kicked clearance to the wing. Where he'd seen
right into his path, wasn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely perfect, and created a really brilliant chance that obviously we didn't score from, because we don't. But but that was, you know, and you realise that's where I think kind of getting too much into it. We were listening to Radio Leeds on the way in, when obviously a lot of people are phoning in, and Noel is agreeing. Noel's opinion is that we need a centre-half, a centre-midfielder and a striker.
It'd
be nice to have to hanging around and not playing. But that's the thing, is like, if we went and signed another centre-half, who out of Liam Cooper and Ben White are we dropping just because today they weren't very good? Mm. And yes, maybe if Ben White breaks his leg tomorrow, then we've got a problem at the back. But you would say that about, you know, if Virgil van Dijk breaks his leg, they go back to being the team that couldn't defend 2 years ago until they went and spent 75 million on the best defender in the world and sorted it out. So, I think writing everything off on the basis of the first half an hour being dog shit, would be overthinking things.
We were terrible, but by the end of it, we were definitely worthy of the draw.
Without a doubt, we had
chances. Alioski at the post. There were several where it was flashing around the box, and it felt like it was going to drop to somebody, and it never quite did.
Yeah, the goal in the end was just a product of absolute pressure.
Yeah,
we were just. I mean, some of the crosses were bad and then some of the crosses were good, but it was just going left to right across their box. And I looked from the gantry down at Alex Neil.
Are you on the gantry?
Shortly before, sat next to Phil Hay.
All right, you should have mentioned
Norman Hunter was not happy today, by the way. He was back and just spent the first half just swearing at everybody.
Tell us, oh, great one. What was the gantry like? What was the view like?
And what I saw was just...
Away from the scum in the plastic seats.
Just before we did equalise, when we had a big period of pressure and they finally managed to clear it downfield, just a big hoof. I looked at Alex Neil on the touchline. He was just standing there with his hands on his head, looking as if he was like, we cannot withstand this.
And yeah, what I was going to actually say was before, when we were both talking, was about that last sort of quarter of the game. And actually, we say the criticism is that if plan A is not working, do plan A better. The last quarter of the game, we did plan A quite well. Mm. Costa was effective. Nketiah was effective. Harrison really came into the game. Alioski started making better decisions as well. And it worked. The pressure told in the end, didn't it? I mean, it felt like it wasn't going to do, but ultimately it did. And we've still got an 8-point gap.
I think we're going to miss Nketiah if he goes back quite a lot.
If he plays like that every week.
Every time he comes on, he tends to do something pretty good. I can't imagine we're going to be able to sign anyone better than him. We maybe could get someone who fits the system, the plan A system a bit better, someone who's another Bamford person, maybe even a better Bamford, and then Bamford can be on the bench for a change. Mm. But yeah. I don't think anyone we're going to get will be as good at running with the ball and taking people on and creating chances from nowhere.
He was very effective at that today, wasn't he? The link-up play.
And he did give a big wave to the cop at the end as if he would say, see ya.
Bye.
We'll be here again.
Thanks for being nice to me.
Yeah. Today, after a few fairly dismal weeks from NK, and maybe dismal's overplaying it, but weeks where he's not really done much when he's come on. Today, yeah, he was brilliant when he came on and created loads. And he had that, there was a really good save from his header as well, wasn't there?
Yeah.
And it was almost typical that we had Alioski hit the post. There was at least one or two others where there was either a good save or it was blocked on the line. And then the one that actually goes in is Dallas just deflected, and it just, that's how we score.
I mean, again, it annoyed me, Brown shushing the cop in the first half when he scored. What was really nice was how distressed the goalkeeper was when that went in. It was really enjoyable just looking, because again, head on hands.
Good.
Hands on head, rather. Head in hands.
Yeah, some head and hands together. Yeah,
there was a head-to-hand interface going on.
I enjoyed his appeal to the referee in the first half because the crowd were being mean to him, as if the ref would somehow intervene. He's sort of going to the ref, look at this, look what's happening. It's like, what do you want me to do? Book the crowd? You know, it's people are shouting shit at you.
But they're saying mean things.
On the theme of the kind of the shithousing that was going on, I want to give a shout out to Gianni Alioski, who I thought is one of the few players who was not shit today. And in the midst of it, although he did get himself involved in, yeah, he pushed Ben Pearson over. And there was another brilliant moment when Alex Neil was outside his technical area and he was telling that he was pointing at somebody, saying the throw-in shouldn't be taken from there, it should be taken there. And Alioski just went over, he pointed him and pointed back in his dugout. Like, you just get back in there. But also some of his play, I thought Alioski had a pretty good game. There was a couple of moments where it looked as if Preston were getting in dangerously. The break-in, nobody's seen the runner, and Alioski's seen him. You just haven't seen Alioski get there yet, and he tracked back really well. And there was one moment, I don't know if you know, you put too much faith in one moment, but he was bursting forward down the wing. He overlaps Harrison and he just kind of trod on the ball a little back heel because he knew Harrison would be there. And it was just like,
which Harrison are you talking about?
Jackie. And it was...
I caught myself shouting that, calling him Jackie today. Go on, Jackie.
Go on, Jackie.
Well, arsehole.
It suits him. Suits.
Anyway, carry on, make your point.
And it just felt like, yeah, actually, Alioski's kind of on it today. And there was a few other moments that were sort of, right, Alioski, you're one who is not just fucking kicking the ball straight out.
There's a funny thing I noticed down near where I was, sort of front of the cop, sort of northwest corner today. And it was, I think we just equalised? I think we had. And the ball sort of spilled out, you know, when it was all getting a bit frantic in the sort of in the wide areas at the edge of the box, and the ball spilled across and went out for a throw. And he just started grinning as he went across to get the ball to take the throw. And you just thought, he's really enjoying this. He's really enjoying himself.
Having said that, when he whacked that chance over when he basically had an open goal.
Yeah, just side foot it gently.
Yeah, stop leaning back, you clown.
Just on target. Yeah. Anything on target's fine.
And that was one of those I really enjoy of all the things, whatever Helder Costa does. And again, I thought Helder Costa was okay today. He's really good at keeping balls in play that should go out of play. And he
keeps stuff alive.
Yeah, and he did that down there, past Sue and Ketia, got it back cross. And it might have been my imagination, but I thought it was Liam Cooper going for a header in the box.
Mm. I think it was. No, I think you're right.
Which he shouldn't have been there because we'd just broken from... It was just a massive kick downfield from possibly Casilla. I can't remember now. And then, it was. And then Helder Costa managed to keep it in. And yeah, Liam Cooper misses a diving header in the 6-yard box on a counter-attack because why wouldn't he? Because this is because even when we're shit, we are still Bielsa's boys. And then, yeah, it was just there for Alioski, just puts it in the empty goal. Everybody's on the floor. Put it just over them, not
it was almost
all
like
the
he
way
saw
over
it.
Them.
It's almost like he saw it and he just ran up to it and went, "Ah, bang!" Oh, never mind.
Alioski at the back post is just not a goal, is it?
Speaking of Casilla, he had a little moment as well, didn't he? When he decided to play outfield for a bit.
Well, that, I mean, Calvin Phillips getting caught in possession in front of goal started all that.
Mm.
Edge of the penalty area and he just gets tackled.
But it's when you happen. But when you see him make that decision, like, I'm going for this now, and you think, oh, God.
I thought he was being sent off to Casilla because he came out and slide tackled him. Yeah. And then, and then the referee let them shoot and I thought he'd called it back for the free kick and I was thinking, oh,
this is it. Here we go. This is when it all falls apart. Listen, heroes and villains then from today. Plenty of villainy going on with Preston.
Nugent, villain. 100%. That old man can fuck off.
Why is he still playing?
I know we're supposed to be nice to the elderly at Christmas, but he can... I hope he gets home and his heating's gone off and his pipes have burst.
And he's all alone.
Yes.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, the referee, he was frustrating me, but as we covered it, it's very hard to go against the sort of thing they were doing, which was... staying down. There was a bit in the first half, just as we were starting to get into it in the first half, one of their players stayed down for absolutely ages with a pretend head injury. In fact, it was Nugent, I think, stayed down for ages with a pretend head injury.
Yeah, he won that free kick off Ben White where he sort of, White had it under control, so he stumbled into White and then took ages going down as if, oh, ref, I'm being dragged to the floor. And then stayed down for ages for treatment because they were 1-0 up at that point and it didn't matter if he was in the box or not. Because although this set, just on Preston, because I do want to they should have some credit for being one, having this bold idea of marking our back three, and then at 1-1 when they had that corner in the second half, their keeper and Alex Neil were pushing everybody forward. One of their players was trying to hang back on the edge of the centre circle and he was like, get in the box, and it was hoping if we could have broken from that we would have won the game. But it's good to see a team not just going, oh, it's 1-1. It's a little bit like us, really. It's 1, or at least how we were, 1-1 in the final, in the 96th minute. Let's just keep four back and make sure we get the draw. Instead, no, they had everybody in the box trying to get a win because I think they know that...
Although Calvin put it out, was it?
I did fully expect them to score from that when Phillips turned and booted it straight out for a corner. I didn't think, Christ, this is how we lose this game.
He did not. What did he do for Christmas? If you were with Calvin Phillips on Christmas Day, hang your heads in shame. There's villains for you. Whoever...
He'll probably be his lovable old mum and gran, won't he, from the documentary?
Well, feeding him full of...
They've been too nice to him.
Yeah.
That's the problem, isn't it? Too much kindness at Christmas.
He's waddling around the pitch full of Quality Street and love. He's obviously had too much affection over
He's gone
Christmas.
Soft, hasn't he? That's what
yes,
it is.
He has.
He's gone soft, Calvin. You need it harder.
His mind...
Deprive him. Starve him.
His mind was on carols and not on the game.
Any heroes then, quickly?
Not from this game, but ex-Leeds legends, Apo Halmer and Sam Vokes for getting late goals in other games, which have kept us in a nice, healthy position.
I think, what did Vokes do?
He scored the winner for Stoke.
Ah, good on
off
I mean,
the bench.
I still hate him. Never liked Sam Vokes, but Halmer is always a good lad.
That memorable spell in League One. What a time.
Alioski can have a nomination for managing to get through all that without getting sent off.
Yeah. There was a bloke who stood just behind me. He went, oh, Alioski's going to get sent off here.
Yeah. I mean, you'd have expected it from Ben Pearson as well. But Alioski is our kind of...
Ben Pearson can be a villain.
Yeah,
just fucking annoying. Just walking around trying to ref the game while being an absolute dick about it.
If you bought a program today, which you shouldn't have because you should just buy the square ball and not that. Although it does have an extract from my book in it.
Yeah, so I was just about to point this out, you idiot. Fucking right in the thing.
If you've got a program, look at the section about Preston and look at the picture of Ben Pearson. That's not a footballer. not a footballer.
Hey, listen, I'm going to go home and eat bloody my body weight again.
I think he's the drummer from a Swedish indie band.
Can we go home?
Yeah, I think we probably can.
Regroup. And
it's Christmas. And villains.
Oh,
Sky.
Yeah.
For scheduling this match at 5:15 on Boxing Day. Mm. Should have been home hours ago.
And it means we are still recording at 8:15, which is bollocks, isn't it?
Although in many ways it's worse for the Reading and QPR fans because their game is still going on and no fucking person is watching this.
And it started at 1 o'clock.
Nobody is watching that on telly though, are they? Who's watching that, really?
Well, I mean, anybody who's got Amazon Prime is watching Liverpool versus Leicester. Which one are you going to choose?
Mm. Even, they'll be Home Alone 2 or something instead, won't they? You can just watch that on Boxing Day.
Hey, on to Birmingham then. And Pep Cotet.
He'll give us a win.
He'll roll over for us, won't he?
Yeah, he knows.
That's fine then.
Yeah, fingers crossed. And I hope he gives a little wink to Gary Monk. All right. Sorry for the chasing pack, particularly you, Gary.
Hey, so we entered the studio, so we were confused. Do we feel a little bit more settled and calm now and feel like we're going to go into this one fine? It's okay. There's an 8-point gap still. People are dropping points, including us. But
it's one more point on our glorious march to promotion. And I think we will have to look back once we are in the Premier League at Preston and say, fair enough, yeah, two draws. That's what we got against them, I think.
And if it makes them happy?
Yeah, Alex Neil's got Bielsa's number, hasn't he? He's got it worked out as to how to fuck it up. What's great about it, and I think is one of the reasons not to worry, is no matter how many times we see Preston do that to us, it's not like every other team looks at it and goes, oh yeah, we can do that. It's just Preston can do it. So, villains, Preston.
For daring to challenge
being good against us.
Yeah, and having that lamb on the badge. Still not resolved.
Listen, let's go home and eat some quality street ourselves, shall we?
I don't even know what day it is. It's those weird Christmas days. There's football on. It's Boxing Day, I think. Yeah. But is it a Thursday?
And
is
you know
Thursday?
What day the...
Tuesday?
It is Thursday. You know what day the Birmingham game's on?
I don't know.
They put it on Sunday, haven't they?
It's a Sunday.
Why?
Because
we've played on a Thursday.
No respect for the God Rod.
It's too confusing. Let's just get this whole thing out of the way. Can we have just played Arsenal in the Cup and still be second with 8 points clear?
Honestly, that's how I feel about it now. As long as we can keep an 8-point gap to second out of this awful Christmas period and just get back to normality again and start playing crap teams, then it'll all be fine.
Yes, please.
Right, thanks for listening to this one. Thanks as well for Levi Solicitors getting behind the podcast. 10% off your legal fees. Have a look on the website, levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Enjoy the rest of your mince pies and your leftover turkey and stuff, and we'll speak to you after the Birmingham game.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.